Today we will be discussing the authority of God and the responsibility of human beings. Authority simply means that you have the right to do what you do. When the Pharisees asked Jesus about his authority, they were seeking to know why he felt he had the right to overturn tables in the temple, to say that this was his father's house. Why did he believe that he had the right to say who he was and to expect that others would follow him? Authority is a tricky thing, because authority is both something that comes from your position as well as what other people grant. As a parent has both positional authority, which is, I birthed you into the world, as the comedians used to say, and I can take you out of it. And it's also an understanding of respect that is earned over time. As a child gets older, positional authority fades and respect increases. Authority means that you can command, but authority must come with responsibility. If authority means what a person can do, then responsibility is what a person ought to do. Without proper responsibility and authority, then you can lead in an improper manner. You can lead in a way that damages other people. You can lead recklessly, and you can injure other people. Part of having authority is knowing when you should use it. And part of having authority is knowing when it's time to say, I don't know. One of the fascinating things in looking at authority is that each of us in salvation, as those who believe in Jesus, have authority to determine how we will act in faith. God has given to you the authority to determine whether you will rise or whether you will kneel before God. There will come a day when you will not have that authority. But on earth, you are given the ability to choose. And Paul, in Philippians chapter 2, lets us know that though the day will come where every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, today you have the authority to choose. And so he tells the church, he tells the world to take this seriously and to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. This is something that many of us do not do. We ignore the instruction of God to be careful on how you live and how you act. And so we have a tendency to live a life that is haphazard and that is careless in knowing how we present ourselves to the world. Last weekend, careless activity created confusion in the nation surrounding, believe it or not, a football game. Both the president and the NFL players acted carelessly in how they responded to the world. The president tweeted and said that all these players should be fired, not understanding or not caring that the president's role is not the role of a boss of a corporation or a team, and that his actual statement may have been a violation of law. The players responded by not protesting what they had been protesting previously, but by responding to the president in a way that was a protest against the nation. One of the fascinating things about this protest is it showed that almost no one understood the symbols. Our nation doesn't understand what it means to stand or to kneel. Recognize that in past societies, if you wanted to give worship, you bowed to the king. You kneeled as the king entered the building. America doesn't kneel when the king or the judge or the president enters the building, do we? Why not? We don't kneel because you kneel or you bow to the king. And as Americans, we rebelled against kneeling. We rebelled against bowing. And part of our rebellion was we would give no worship to anyone but God. So we do not bend the knee to anyone but the Lord, which gave rise to rising instead of kneeling for authority. But here's what's happened. No one understands anymore. We don't know why we do what we do. And when you don't know why you do something, then you become careless in the use of symbols. Now, Baptists understand symbols because we believe that communion is a symbol of what Jesus has done. We don't believe it's the reality. We don't believe that the bread is the actual body of Jesus, do we? We don't believe that the cup contains blood. We believe it is symbolic and that by participating, we use that symbol to communicate a deeper truth. In the same way, Baptists don't believe that the cross has any magical properties, right? And that baptism surrounds you with holy water. We believe that all of these things are symbolic in nature, and they have meaning. Now, here's the reality, that you have to teach symbolism to people. You have to teach them what it means to do the things that we do. And this takes time, and it takes effort. The reality is that in America, we haven't taught anybody anything. We haven't taught them what it means and why it means these things. And so our current debates and our current frustration in this nation is primarily based on the fact that no one knows why, what, or how we do these things. We don't know the traditions, and so when we try to play in the traditions, we fail. And we end up kneeling and showing greater respect and perhaps idolatry toward the very thing that we're protesting. The church can help in this. But the first thing that we need to do is we need to understand what it means to lead. And that Jesus taught us a different way to lead than the world would imagine. You see, the end of the Philippians hymn, the great hymn of Jesus, it's a wonderful Christological hymn that we read in Philippians chapter 2. And it tells us that Jesus lowered himself in order to raise others. It says that Jesus had all authority in heaven and earth, and that Jesus didn't lord that over others. But Jesus relinquished it in order to give his very life so that you might live. And then Paul says, because Jesus did that, God the Father raised him up. And that Jesus is now lifted high so that in the end, every knee will bow. And every tongue in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. This is all those who have ever lived and all those who will ever live will bow the knee to Jesus Christ in worship and with the understanding that Jesus is the only rightful Lord and authority. That's heavy stuff. That's life-changing stuff. And what that means is that when we bow to any other authority other than Jesus, we bow to a false god. Jesus is our Lord and our Savior, and we owe allegiance to no one but Jesus when it comes to bowing the knee. Those are fighting words in most of the world. But what we find in most of the world is words. Unfortunately, our world is filled with confusing nonsense. We speak without knowing. And when we act without knowing, it makes it even worse. Everyone has an understanding of why someone else is doing something. Have you noticed over the last week, almost everyone wants to tell you what to think about everything? All they do whenever there's a big story is they tell you what it means. And before you know it, you no longer know why. What are we even talking about? Our world moves and stacks lie upon lie upon lie upon lie. And before you know it, you don't even know what the questions are. Part of my dilemma in recent years is that when people ask me questions, what I've discovered is that their assumptions are so flawed that I almost have to begin every conversation in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. You got to go all the way back to number one, because if they don't get those things, then it's hard for them to understand why we're where we are. Words. Jesus tells us in the parable that he tells in Matthew that words are meaningless without actions related to them. Here's the truth. Do you trust the person who says, I love you? Or do you trust the person who lives, I love you? A lot of people say, I love you, and then proceed to abuse and destroy the people that they claim to love. But who lives, I love you? That's the man, that's the woman, that's the person that you know loves. The person who loves is the one who will take care of you when you're down, who will check in on you when you're sick. The person who loves you is the one who will show it in action. And the person who loves God is the one not just who will say, Lord, Lord, as Jesus said, but is the one who will live the word of God. And living the word of God is following the example of Jesus, lowering yourself to help others. The reality is that there's a lot of people who are talking about helping those people who are flood and hurricane victims. But there are few who are helping, who loves. Show me what you do, and I'll show you what you love. Those are hard words, aren't they? They're difficult words. Because what it tells you is action is more meaningful than words. As a preacher, I know how dangerous that is. Because oftentimes you preach the truth and live a lie. And so we deal with our own salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that it's easier to say than it is to live. Jesus has called us, though, to live in the truth. That's why even the Pharisees understood that those who say yes and live no do not follow the word of the Father. Those who say no and live yes are closer to the truth, aren't they? Now, the question is how can you say no and live yes? Now, the reality is it's even better to say yes and live yes, right? I mean, what we want to do in the church is both speak the truth and live the truth. And if we speak the truth and live the truth, what we do is then we become a symbol of the truth itself. We become, as the scripture says, the body of Christ. Why is that? It's because each Christian, the church together, we are a symbol to the world that Jesus is alive in us. And when the symbol is broken, then the world no longer can see the truth that the symbol represents. The cross is a symbol to the church and to the world. Communion is a symbol to the church. And the church is a symbol to the world. When we gather around the communion table, we remember what Jesus has done for us. And we remember what Jesus has called us to do, which is to stand in unity together with the acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is Lord, and with the instruction that we will live our faith in who we are. I've shared this with you before, but communion is actually our time to say yes to God once again. It's the renewal of our vow. You know, every time we have an anniversary date, you know, my wife and I, we remember and we renew our vows. Now, we don't do it every year in a dramatic fashion. But when we remember it, it's a day in which we say, I can't believe it's been so long, and I would do it all over again. That is that understanding that we have when we come to communion. Whether it's a month after we've accepted the Lord or 50 years after we've accepted the Lord, we come to the table and we say yes to Jesus once again, and we say, God, it's been an incredible movement in my life. Help me to be more devoted tomorrow than I was yesterday. Symbolic action is an action that shows others what we're doing. It does have meaning. And it shows others what we mean. Unity, however, demands that we all know what it means. During the Reformation period, there was disagreement over what communion meant. Some people believed that communion was really the literal body and blood of Jesus. They believed that the value of communion was that it was substantively changed by God. And those who follow the Anabaptist tradition believe that the value in communion wasn't a substantive change. It was a recognition that God continues to call the people into covenant. Symbolic understanding. Believe it or not, because of that inability to understand or to agree on what it meant, the people of God separated into two groups, into multiple groups. And here was the problem with that. You see, we think unity is all about being right and proving our righteousness to others. We think unity demands that other people agree with me. This is part of the problem that we see in the way we argue today, in the way we live today, in the way we protest today. We want to raise awareness and have everyone else agree with me. Unity means you agree with me. That's the way our world is today, right? How does Paul present unity? Unity is when you surrender your rights to serve another. Unity means when every knee bows to Jesus. Unity means not when you proclaim how righteous you are, but when you recognize that Jesus is righteous and you are not. Unity means that we see the other person as more important than us. This is incredibly radical in our world today. Because in our world today, on both sides, all we are doing is saying, look at me, I'm righteous, I'm the right one, and no one else is right. But the church has to speak in our still small voice. We bow the knee to Christ because in his righteous love, he bowed down to us and surrendered his rights and his privileges and his and everything that was owed to him to die, not just as a criminal on a cross, but to die for the sins of others. And that is the example we will follow. Folks, it blows up all of our privilege. It blows up all of our needs. And it says, I stand with you, bowing to Christ to give my very life, my rights, and my complete service so that my neighbor can be blessed. We say yes all the time to this. But I want to make sure you hear this. I don't always live yes. Most of the time, my yes is to myself, to my needs, and to my concerns. But when I come to the table of the Lord, when I come to communion, I recognize that Jesus has called me to say yes to him and to my neighbor. Folks, we are going to continue to debate, to continue to rail at each other and to be angry one to the other until we come to the place where we bow the knee to Jesus in life and in word. And once we do that, we'll recognize that there's something more important than our own way. We'll recognize that the Word of God rules our lives. And it causes us to serve God and our neighbor as ourselves. As we come to the communion table, recognize that we come in recognizing that Jesus died for us and he has called us to lift up our cross and give our lives for others. Let us pray. Lord God, you have called your church to live in radical obedience to God in Jesus Christ. You have called us not just to say yes, but to live yes. You have called us to be the body of Christ, and in that body to be symbolic. Lord God, we get full of frustration at standing and kneeling and devotion to the nation or to the pledge, and yet we fail to give proper obedience and devotion to you. Lord God, help every knee bow, every tongue confess, and every life be lived in service to God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let our lives be a testimony to your work. And let the Spirit of God empower us to do and live the Word of God. And we pray it in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died so that we might be saved, our Lord. And the people of God